The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
My name is
Fred Kirsch.
My name is
Andy Hart.
My name is
Paul Perillo.
The show is PFW in Progress. My name is Mr. Liff. I lurk in lakes like the Loch Ness. World's best talk show. None can come close. Oh, how rude of me. Let me introduce the host, Fred Kirsch. Let's start with him first. His shoulders are boulders about as big as planet Earth. The captain of the ship, without a doubt, he's the boss. Fred, say a little something. Oh, wait, his mic's off. Andy Hart. Sometimes he's Andy. Catch him after lunch break, he could make the earthquake. He's the real wild card, truly enough said. One brain contained within the width of two heads. Paul Perillo, he's the salt in the soda. 2 liters, 4 liters, gotta meet his quota. I'm out of here, y'all, I gotta catch a flight to Greece. Tell Fred to stop dreaming about Geno's peace. Hi, my name is
Fred Kirsch.
My name is
Andy Hart.
My name is
Paul Perillo.
My name is The show is
PFW in Progress.
And Eric Scalavino.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We are here on Wednesday live from the Team Hotel in Arizona, and picking up where we left off yesterday, full access this morning with the entire team. That means coaches, Bill Belichick, all the players, all the staff. Well, not all the staff, but all the coaching staff. All there at one time for everyone to talk to. And it was pretty crowded, a lot of media. And maybe it was just the setup, guys, but it seemed like there was more media here than the last time we did this thing in 2012. What do you think?
It was pretty crowded. Yeah. I think that was a... The room and the way it was set up, and they had to put some tables out in the hallway outside of the conference area. It was busy.
Yeah, it sure was.
Very smelly, busy too.
Definitely think that the setup wasn't as conducive as the last time. But the media seems to grow every year, the amount of media that covers the Super Bowl. And there are a lot of people. Yeah, you know what that means, Freddie. A lot of people with a sense of entitlement.
A lot of people, and the auxiliary press box is further away.
Andy and I will be out there.
But I guess the main story coming out of today is, Tom Brady's cold.
He caught Paul.
He got the
nice snips. Job, Paul.
Yeah.
But I stayed away.
But I made an observation, which I shared for the people at the end of John Rook's show, that he was wiping his face with a handkerchief, which if it's the same thing that I had, that tells me he's in the latter stages where it's kind of a cold sweat coming through, the fever's broken, and, No, because it happened to me, so I would imagine he caught the same strain that I caught.
He said he'll be fine.
Yeah, and he will be, because I am. So he will be fine.
You are?
Yeah.
You struggled through our TV show yesterday afternoon.
It was a little tough. What were you? Wait, how did I struggle?
Because you had
couldn't
the audacity
read the
to
emails,
cough.
And you were like, are we almost done? I got to get through
oh,
this.
Oh, when I was coughing. Okay, so I had one coughing fit.
Well, yeah, he has to play an NFL game against the best defense
he'll
in football.
He'll be fine. It's a long time between now and Sunday.
I think he'll be fine. I never doubt him.
Yeah. So,
well, not until 5 years after
he retires. Shut up, you.
What are your thoughts after today? Anything that anyone said that kind of made you lean one way or another, different perspective, something you didn't know?
Nothing really stuck out to me today. I mean, it's just kind of getting to the point now where, it's the mundane football stuff, which is what we welcome.
Right.
I don't want to make it sound like that we're complaining about that, because that's what we longed for the better part of 10 days. But I think we're to the point now, okay, Seattle's defense is fast, Fred.
Yep.
They get to the ball, they swarm to the ball, and they're fast. They use that rugby style of tackling game.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you heard that at all.
Yeah.
Offensively, Marshawn Lynch is a beast.
Yep.
You can't tackle him with one guy.
So you know why I'm here.
You got to get bodies around him.
Yeah.
And you got to get people. You got to contain Russell Wilson, because you know how dangerous he is. He had over 800 yards rushing.
Right. So is what you're saying? You've learned nothing new.
What I'm saying is that's basically with the message coming out of every roundtable today that that Andy and I sort of bounced around to in the Patriots media access. Eric was with the Seahawks. But I think we welcome that because it's finally there was a day that there was very little, if any, talk about the footballs.
Freddie, I did think it was a little interesting. Obviously, they're practicing today. Patriots are at practice now, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah.
Seattle apparently is going to practice a little later in the day to mimic the exact timing and everything of the Super Bowl.
Kind of makes sense.
And they are, they are known for their Wednesday practices. They talk about them a lot. It's ones versus ones. They claim that a lot of times those are harder than Sunday, the game day. They go all out.
Doesn't he call it Competition Wednesday or something like that?
That was brought up to Darrell Revis, and he just kind of laughed and said, well, we work hard on Wednesdays. We work hard on Thursdays and Fridays. Bill makes it hard on us. So, you know, I think there was sort of the implication in the question that maybe they work harder than you during the week, and
right.
I think Revis kind of poo-pooed that. But, no, I did think it was interesting that they're keeping score. I mean, it sounds like they're basically having a scrimmage today, the Seattle team. And I find that interesting. I don't know that I've heard that a lot in past Super Bowls. And, you know, that's one of those things. If you win, they were fired up. They had that great Wednesday practice. If you lose, they were worn down. They were having a damn scrimmage on the Wednesday before the Super Bowl.
Right. Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Just joined us. He was at the Seahawks access today.
And that was like pretty much one of the first things Pete Carroll talked about was the fact that they were going to make it, what did he call it, competitive Wednesday?
Yeah.
That they were going to keep score. There was going to be a winner and a loser, and they were going to ramp it up. They were going to have it late in the afternoon to try to simulate kickoff for the Super Bowl.
Patriots are screwed. Why didn't they think of that?
But that's
sure
interesting.
They did, but they poo-pooed.
I thought, just very briefly, I thought that the last few days both teams have been fairly loose. I don't think either one has been overly tense or – I think they've been having a good time enjoying it. I don't know if you guys felt the same way about the Patriots.
Confident and ready to roll.
Yep.
Which is a different. Sometimes at the Super Bowl, you get one team feels like a little bit more uptight or more serious than another, and another team seems really loose. I think both of these teams are handling everything pretty well.
I think that's part of that message that the Seahawks have been sending of not defending the title, but trying
to win another
this
one.
Title.
Yeah.
I guess it sounds kind of stupid, but the mentality can be different. The pressure of defending versus. No, we're just
treating it
for
like
it,
it's
like they are.
Brand
two
new
teams,
thing, something all new.
Right.
Right. And we keep bringing up 07 when it comes to composure going into a game, and we all kind of agree that there was a lot of pressure on the Patriots. It was almost you weren't defending a title, but you were defending an undefeated record.
Yep.
And it was a lot, and it may have played a factor.
It did.
You know?
The minor thing during the build, did you see that this is the first Super Bowl between two Croatian head coaches?
Yeah. I had no idea that Pete Carroll was Croatian.
I don't really
I didn't know that either.
And does it really matter?
No.
No, well, the guy.
Well, it's just a funny
anecdote.
I'm guessing
the guy was Croatian because he's like, they're dancing in the streets of some city in Croatia.
Zagreb.
Yeah, Zagreb.
Zagreb. the guy, when he posed the question in the guy's defense, was he posed it exactly like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, listen, it's a little bit of an off-the-wall question, but it's the Super Bowl. Hey, you know.
Right.
Yeah, he knew it was, quirky.
Something about those
kooky.
Croatians. Nick Saban's also Croatian.
Well, that's
Croatian.
What Bill immediately brought up. The only time I've ever really thought about it is when I used to go against Coach Saban here right in the division.
But
right.
Think of that. That's like six college titles and
right. That's a lot of winning.
Four right. NFL titles or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of rings from those Croats. How does he say it? Croats.
Yeah. Yeah. So today they were saying Croatian, but Bill usually uses Croat.
Yeah.
So you have the Croat coaches, and you mix them with the Polynesian players, you can have a pretty good team there.
I'm with you.
If you had to go just, a singular nationality.
The Samoans.
Yep. All right. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at Patriots.com is the way to get us via email.
Just to, the obvious sort of technicalities of the day, we will have an injury report today, and we will have a pool report. Today. Does anybody know who the pool reporter is? I don't actually know that.
Yes.
Michael Phelps.
AFC, I believe, is Peter King.
I'm Peter King.
He's one of the two. I forget.
Awkward.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting when our pool reporter is banned from practice.
I asked the coach what he thought, and the coach ignored me.
He might actually be.
Do we get any pictures of that, Fred?
Yeah, we'll get some pictures up.
We have some pictures.
Our photographer, I hooked up with him before the show, and he's on his way there. We're going to give us the photos as soon as he gets back.
I don't think he means in that way, Eddie.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, that's the it's game week. It's now officially practice and injury reports, and it's a game week up until Sunday.
But as we've been told, the game plan has been installed.
Oh yeah,
you know now you're kind of just
the hay's not in the barn, but it's in the back of the wagon getting backed into the barn.
Yeah. All right, so let's get to some emails, shall we? Nora from the Phoenix, Arizona area.
Hey, our neighbor,
active listener of the show, emailed a few times. I'm sure you're enjoying the nice weather.
Yep.
70s for a high today and tomorrow.
I got shorts on, baby.
Just want to give a bold prediction. Danny Amendola has a career game with 10-plus catches, 100-plus yards, and at least one touchdown. Super Bowl MVP candidate at the very least. Lock it in.
It's going to make it awkward to cut him in April.
That is a bold prediction. Was also writing to see if you guys will be going to the Patriots pep rally at the New England Patriots Fan Club of Arizona on Saturday. Would love to meet you guys and buy you a beer.
Eric will be there.
Paul's listening. Just want to say I'm a proud PFW Elite member, and I want to give a shout-out to the group. Also want to make a shout-out to Chester from Portland and Chris with a T-I-A-N. Those guys are as good as you get with the callers into the show. Last but not least, Ed Wheezy. Can't wait for you to arrive in Arizona. All right.
Ed Wheezy's coming?
I guess so. A lot of the Elite will be here.
Big game. They got their work cut out for them, though. They need to bring it, those Elite. I think they're maybe fighting an uphill battle numbers-wise in this Battle of the Fans,
yeah,
the noise.
The Seahawks certainly won the day yesterday at Media Day.
Yep. So
fan-wise?
Bring it.
Yeah. They were loud.
Loud and more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Loud and more.
Cattell writes in from St. Louis, have a scenario for you guys. Would you take at the end of the game with 2 minutes left and two timeouts and needing a touchdown with Brady, or 2 minutes left and no timeouts with a field goal to win for the Seahawks? Let's assume for the sake of scenario they start at the 20-yard line. I trust the defense only because we have failed in the last two Super Bowls with the ball at the end. Go Patriots, and we win 35-17. So basically,
what's the score?
Well, when you need a touchdown.
No, but I need to know, is it a low-scoring game or a high-scoring game? Is my defense playing well, or is my defense giving up points in place?
I don't know. He doesn't mention
well, that would matter to me.
Okay. That makes sense.
You know,
is he asking us?
Let's say it's a low-scoring game.
Low-scoring game, I put my defense on the field.
Is he asking us what we'd rather have?
What scenario would you prefer for Patriots win?
I'm leading and my defense is on the field.
Okay.
Yeah, because...
You want it up to your defense.
Well, I like my chances against...
Leading, I like it.
You know, that's a tough call because...
I would rather... So, in other words, you'd rather have your defense on the field having... To
prevent a field goal.
So I got to keep
them
from
a field goal, as opposed to having your offense on the field
needing a touchdown.
Yeah. I would rather have my defense because it's much harder to have to score a touchdown in that situation.
Yeah.
It's not as much
It's always harder to just have to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
But I still would like to
against
know.
Against a good defense,
if
too.
If he's run for 200 and they're running all over me, I might want the offense thing because that doesn't seem like a lot of yards.
No, that's true. It does, you know, the context of the game really does make a difference.
It's tough, too, because I have a lot of confidence in their offense to put points on the board.
Andy makes a good point about the style of game.
If it's a game like the Giants games, I think in this case now I want my defense.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if it's that type of game.
Well,
if it comes down to a defensive stand, I want my defense.
I just would rather...
on the field.
I would rather, be able to... not have to rely on needing a touchdown at the end of a game like that. That's not an easy thing to get.
And they haven't really done it all that well. How much time did I have?
It's gone.
It's gone. Okay. These are like Snapchat.
Defense.
They just
right.
go away.
Snapchat.
And there's weird penises in them.
What?
What? That's what Snapchat is.
That's Andy.
That's how it started.
That's Andy.
It's the origins of Snapchat.
What are you talking about?
You send pictures of your, you know.
Junk? That's Andy for you.
And then people realize you could actually save them.
Oh, so they don't disappear forever.
Well,
you
can
do like a screen capture.
Oh, well.
So then that person has your wee-wee forever.
Let's take a call from the Ace Ticket Hotline. Justin's in Virginia. Hey, Justin.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Live from Arizona. I see you. But as to this game, I'm really proud of this team. I want to see our offensive players moving around. I want to see eligibles, ineligibles. I want to see the safeties playing low. I don't want respect for Russell's arm. I want to defend the run. And I'm really hyped we're in the Super Bowl. Let's go, Patriots.
All right, Justin.
Way to bring it.
He's already at the pep rally. Let's go to Sam from San Fran. Hey, Sam.
Hey, what's up, Gan?
Hey.
3 points. First of all, I think our offense might struggle a bit out of the gate, trying to get used to the speed of Seattle defense. A little bit like when the Niners came to Foxborough a couple years ago. It took some time to get used to them. But I feel like eventually we'll be able to move the ball on them. And 27-17.
Trailing what? 10-0? 14-0? How's that going to play out early?
I think our defense, unlike 2 years ago, can actually hold a fort and keep us in the game until the offense gets into a rhythm.
I agree. I think the defense is ready for this battle against that offense, but that's not to say I wouldn't have some concerns about that running game.
I wouldn't want to fall behind. I'll tell you that. That's how Seattle likes to play. I wouldn't want to play their kind of game. I want to get the lead. I want to get the lead and let Seattle chase.
But you can say the same thing about the Patriots. They don't like to fall behind either. They want to play from ahead. So
yeah, nobody likes to fall behind.
No, but what I'm saying is Seattle is extremely good at that, and I wouldn't – if the Patriots, I want to get – that's the way the Patriots want to play. They want to get ahead.
Right.
Seattle defense with speed and animosity and anger coming at you, and they got a lead, they can do that.
Yes, I'm looking from it from our perspective. I'm looking at what the Patriots need to do to win.
When Cam Chancellor's in that dark place and he has a lead, he can be even darker.
I don't want him getting, you know, it'd be like there's no lights.
Right. All right, thanks, Sam. I got to check his contract status. I want to sign him. Fell in love with him.
Oh, boy.
Let's go to Pavon.
He's always Pappas, falling in love with Jay.
He's writing in. I just want to stress the importance of winning the game. That is important. Because, you know, if you lose, you can't win.
Right.
I live in the Giants territory, and all they say is you'd rather lose with dignity than win cheating. We should win and shut the mouths of the whole league. We should line up Gronk on Sherman and get mad on that, bro. Brady should get rid of the ball quickly for most of the time and take some hits down the field every now and then. We should have 7 O-linemen and should involve the extra 2 of them in the passing game and somehow win the game.
That doesn't seem like a very confident email.
No.
Like all this trickeration
exactly,
and craziness.
Yeah.
I don't feel that way. I it's not a guarantee the Patriots are going to win, but they can beat the Seahawks by just playing football, I believe.
Yeah.
I don't think you need all that. Now, some of that stuff is part of what they've been doing with the formations and the personnel, but that guy doesn't have a lot of confidence.
Drew from North Carolina, I'm in my midweek postseason change. I have gone from excited to nervous. I'm worried about ball security. Seattle focuses a full day of practice each week on forcing turnovers. Also worried about a cheap shot to Gronk. Hope I'm wrong. I do have a question about field goals. Any chance we see a type of hard count on field goals in case Cam tries to jump the line like he did against Carolina?
I'd like to see that.
You could see that, and I also think that that's something that the Seahawks defense does a lot. I wouldn't be surprised to see Brady drawing a couple offside penalties. Mm-hmm. Michael Bennett in particular jumps offside all the time. He did it a couple of times in the first series, especially early when they're all, as Andy says, what you call them, all amped up and they get their speed going.
Yep.
I think he did it twice on consecutive plays against Green Bay, if I remember, in the NFC Championship game. So that's something to keep an eye on.
Why didn't they hit him?
Chancellor?
Yeah.
When he tried to jump over on the field goal?
Like, remember the time I saw the guy do it earlier this year and the guy just hit his legs to flip him over? Like,
yeah.
He's very, very vulnerable when he's in the air.
I would,
very, very vulnerable.
I would venture to say the Patriots have seen the tape of that and are trying to
so
plan for something.
So if he jumps up like
that
and you put the crown of your helmet in his crotch, is that legal?
Well, yes, but he's way above your – you just hit, like, his feet. You got to knock him off. You got to take him off his trajectory.
Why'd you shake your head, Paul?
Because the things
it's about crotches with
the things that pop into your head just never cease to amaze me.
It's very simple. It's always crotches that pop into his head.
The two of you.
Not me. Yeah. Oops.
You fell in love with Cam Chancellor.
But that was...
Snapchat.
Right.
What?
Snapchat.
Says, did you guys notice a difference between 2007 plane ride to Phoenix in comparison to this year's plane ride, or was it the same?
It's very different. It was a different plane, different technology at play. No more movies being played to the whole plane. It's you pick your own.
No more movies.
Yeah, there was some technical difficulties, so a lot of people didn't watch any movies, but each seat has the little video screen, so it's a different time, different era. I'm fine with the plane flight out.
Not all that
no
long
fears.
Ago either.
I didn't see a single player on the plane this time. To Andy's point, they were so far away from us. Usually they're right behind us.
Yeah.
Instead, they were way in front of us.
They were way.
It was a long ass plane because I was near the back and I did that where you kind of lean your head out and look and
it went on
aisle
forever.
Just went.
I know.
Forever.
What kind of plane was it?
767.
767.
Yeah, it was the players. It was long. Then the coaches in the middle, and then
Now the unwashed.
Wow.
In the back.
It was big.
Hmm. And steerage.
Steerage.
Too much.
Dan's in Virginia on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Good night, Dan.
Good night, fellas.
Good night, Mike.
Stole my stick.
He stole my stick.
Thank you for your service.
I got a couple of questions related to the game, but first I wanted to address this whole greater Seattle presence down in Arizona. Of course there's a greater Seattle presence down in Arizona because it's expensive to get down there and it's expensive to get tickets to all the events, and there's a lot of people up in Seattle who have made a lot of money making bad coffee and computers that don't work. All us working stiffs and Southies and schlubs and all us blue-collar Pats fans are left out.
Isn't the biggest Pats fan club in Arizona?
One of them, right?
One of them, at least.
A beer mug from them.
The most controversial one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Doesn't mean support for the team is lacking after hearing our team besmirched by information that's maybe one grade above what you hear in a hairdresser salon and hearing Belichick and Kraft firing back. I mean, this, you know, we Pats fans, we're ready to run through fire for this team. I know we really can't do anything now that sort of makes a whole much of a damn on the effect of the game, but we're ready to run through brick walls for this team right now. So
if Patriots fans played football against Seahawks fans, who do you think would win?
Seahawks fans. That guy that's dressed like the Hulk.
No
huge.
Way. Patriots fans would kill them. They'd kill them.
Give them the ball every play.
Are you kidding me?
They're all hyped up on
who's going to stop that guy? Sully?
Right.
Oh, we kill him.
Did you hear this morning, Fred, the guy who asked Bill how it feels that his team is known nationally as a bunch of cheaters? And Bill didn't answer it, but
right.
I saw people tweeting. I think Jeff Darlington tweeted, like, that guy gets the award for grandstanding question of the day.
Like no one else has.
But I don't think that's a bad question right now. His team's name is being dragged through the mud. He's not going to answer
right,
it.
Right.
But right now, people think you're cheaters.
Right.
And I don't think that's a ridiculous question.
It's not. Does it bother you what people are saying
your
about
legacy.
You is basically
and,
what he said?
And by the way, the answer is yes, based on his actions from
of
the last
week.
Of course it does.
Yeah. You don't need to know anything.
He said it does.
Right, but even the way he acted in the press conferences and Robert, they are not happy with the way their legacy, their team, their brand, their name is being kicked around.
Not at all.
That's why they went to those lengths.
Right.
To come out and speak the way they
did. That's right. What else, Dan?
Another football questions, but firstly, actually, I mean, you know, New England fans versus Seattle fans. I mean, really, you got to wait for the Seattle fan to put down his latte before.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what these guys are talking about, Dan.
Have you seen the Hulk guy?
Oh, it's all made up.
Andy's just talking about one guy.
I know.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm talking about a nation.
Going into the championship game, I kind of wondered, depending on how things played out, if playing Andrew Luck would be good preparation for Russell Wilson, given that they're running quarterbacks, not in the same way, of course, but Luck might serve as a bit of a practice for Wilson. But it didn't seem Luck actually ran that much in the end. Now, was that something due to the something that the Patriots defense did, or did he just kind of poop himself, or was that just not part of their game plan? And the second question I have is, this is a bit more esoteric, do you think it's better to have a hard game before a big game like the Super Bowl, so that you're kind of amped up and there's no complacency, or do you think it's better to come in with an easy game because you're full of confidence, or do you think it just doesn't matter?
I think it just doesn't matter.
Yeah,
that's my opinion on it. I look at it, obviously, I think, Fred, at the top you said these are the two best teams in football, and I think that the two teams know it. They know they're their best teams in football. The Patriots had their tough test in the divisional round. Seattle had their tough test in the championship. I don't think it matters.
I think this is going to be an excellent football game. I really do. For that reason, Paul.
I hope so.
I think they're the two best teams in football playing some of their best football now. And I think it's kind of ironic, too, or coincidental, I should say, that both teams this season had watershed moments at Kansas City. The Patriots obviously got blown out on the Monday night, and then after that it seemed to be the on to Cincinnati, on to so-and-so, the next, and they went on that long run. And then Seattle went to Kansas City week 11, I think.
It was
mid-season. It was around mid-season.
Yeah, and that was a big
day. That was a big game. Day. And they've been talking a lot this week, and even last week, about that Kansas City game the Seahawks have, saying that that was sort of a turning point for them, too, because they weren't really playing consistently up until that point, and then after that. So it's kind of, I don't know.
That was their last loss, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
So it is interesting that Kansas City was involved in both sides.
Yeah.
I'm sure they feel great about that.
Yeah. Well, and I saw something, and I forget the specific details of it, but I saw something where it's one of the very rare times. I don't want to put a number on it because I don't know what it was exactly, but Kansas City beat both Super Bowl teams, and that hasn't happened very often for a team that didn't make the playoffs.
Huh.
You know what I'm saying?
So for any
team,
that.
Right? For any team, not. You mean
that didn't make the playoffs?
Team that didn't make the playoffs and both Super Bowl participants.
Both Super Bowl participants, and that I don't know how many times that's happened, but it hasn't happened often.
His first question, Dan's first question, was playing luck before Wilson. Does that prepare them at all for a running quarterback?
I do. I think that prepares them. They're not the same, but I think they. And I talked to Chandler Jones about this, and he said, you know, all of those guys prepare you. He missed some of the guys, Rodgers and different things in the middle, but Tannehill and Geno Smith and different guys they've played. Ninkovich has talked about that. They have pretty good experience with mobile quarterbacks, big mobile quarterbacks, little mobile quarterbacks, read option. They've seen a lot of those because he's not luck. He's not as big. He's not that Roethlisberger type. But there are, you know, they have done enough game preparations for mobile quarterbacks and late in the year that I think it does help.
I mean, he's probably faster than luck. But he's not as good a thrower as luck. So,
right.
You know,
and he's not as big. He's not going to, shrug off potentially guys like luck can.
Yeah, and I think Andy makes a good point, because I've heard a lot of people asking about this stuff.
You're such an idiot.
He really is. It's insufferable. But a lot of people have been saying, well, you haven't really seen any zone read, you know, read option stuff. And I sort of what are you talking about? And like Chandler Jones was quick to stop a guy to tell a guy that he was wrong. Hightower and Collins yesterday, I talked to both of those guys, and they were like, "No, we've seen a lot of it." Ryan Tannehill is a guy that
can do it.
That's been good preparation for Russell Wilson, because I do think Andrew Luck. It helps to see any kind of mobile quarterback, but Andrew Luck is a scrambling runner.
Exactly.
Right.
Russell Wilson runs by design a lot. I mean, you don't get 850 yards rushing on scrambles. Aaron Rodgers is a scrambling quarterback.
Right.
Russell Wilson runs by design, more like
Kaepernick,
you know, has in the past.
And Tannehill's a good example.
Tannehill, they run read option with Tannehill. They did a little bit with Geno Smith, too, and especially in the first game that they did. So those guys, Andy's right, they've seen a lot of different kind of running quarterbacks, and it helps to see at least some of that before you have to deal with it with a guy like Wilson.
Flint in Atlanta writes in, "I'm sure that all the bases are being covered, just trying to anticipate everything. One, while watching the Pro Bowl, I noticed that several players lost their footing. I don't know if it was a turf issue or an equipment issue, but something to be aware of. Two, I had a daymare vision of the Patriots defense swarming to every beast mode carry, gang tackling, right? Then late in the game, the Seahawks get a cheap score in a spark, a la the Packers game, on a flea flicker. Discipline," he says. He doesn't want to get caught off guard.
And I don't think they will. They have been pretty damn good this year and not. They've missed some tackles and given up plays, but they've been a pretty disciplined team in not allowing big plays.
The vibe is good. The time is now. Chicken soup and a shot of scotch for Tom's cold. Then take the flight to him.
I'm just worried about Giselle.
You know, it's funny. When the whole Deflategate thing, I got countless emails about, you know, doing the PSI experiments and all this. Today I was getting emails about cold remedies. Yeah.
For crying out loud.
Yeah.
I think he's fine.
I don't think he has any access to it.
Ever hear of taking silver psyllium or something like that?
Silver Syringa?
That's what I thought you were This nun sent me a thing about that. She uses it. She says it's really good.
I thought God would just cure her.
That's not how it works.
Yeah.
Cole from Waterloo, seeing as Sherman has an arm injury, instead of testing him by throwing at him, why not start out by splitting Gronk to his side, then motioning a receiver out there and running a wide receiver screen? Gronk can drive his block and throw Sherman out of the club.
Sure. Could do it with LaFell, too.
Yeah.
He's a big, good blocker.
Yeah. David in Northern California, I wonder if the NFL has already determined there is a hole in the process for keeping balls at the required PSI. Is it possible they are looking at the solutions, and that's why it's taking time?
No, I think they're still investigating. I think they will spend after this looking at solutions and adjusting the rules.
Yeah, something's going to happen as a result of this that way, for sure.
Yeah, and there was another report today of a study, Columbia they've brought in or something, to study something. They seem to be grasping at straws.
Oh, yeah.
They got nothing. They got nothing.
I'm tired of it.
Oh, the Columbia thing is a shot at Robert. That's a shot.
I see what you're doing there.
Yeah. I see what they're doing there. Let's go to Belarco on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Belarco.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Tremendous.
If there was a football game between the Seahawks fans and the Patriots fans are just going to maul them.
Absolutely.
These hipsters, they're no good. They're no good. All they know is how to drink organic beer and listen to stupid banjo music.
And caffeine.
That's right. The hipster thing. You just swayed me. The hipsters, losers.
Ask Chester if he calls him and ask him about hipsters, man. God. All right. I was looking at the list of quarterbacks that Seahawks have faced. Kirk Cousins, Austin Davis, Derek Carr, Drew Stanton, Ryan Lindley, Cam Newton twice, once in the playoffs. So I just feel that, okay, they're a good defense. I get that. But I don't think they've faced that much tough competition that we have faced.
That is true. The Patriots faced a very tough schedule this year. The gauntlet of playoff caliber teams and good quarterbacks that they handled was impressive. But I'm not going to take anything away from Seattle. I think they're a really good defense.
I did notice that you left Aaron Rodgers twice out of that little rundown. But
Yeah. And when they played Aaron Rodgers with one leg, Aaron almost hobbled all his
way to the Super Bowl. How about the first time when they shut him down the first time? Did that count?
Yeah. Okay. That was like he didn't even throw to someone's side. And I'm not taking anything away from them. I'm just
No.
They played.
Sounds like you're giving them all the credit in the world. It was very.
Can you be nice?
Congratulations on winning the USFL to get to the Super Bowl. Nice.
We yelled at him yesterday.
I'm proud of you.
Belarco, we love you, you know.
I don't care what you think, but I'm just saying.
It's quite clear that you don't care what anybody thinks.
They faced a series of bad quarterbacks, and without them, they would not be in the playoffs.
Yes,
that's what I think.
I agree. If they got to face Geno Smith, things would be a lot different.
So,
Marco,
so do you disagree with me? Do you disagree with me when I say that these are the two best teams in the NFL?
Yes, he strongly disagrees with you, Fred.
Okay.
Unless you want to count the Patriots' offense and the Patriots' defense as the two strongest teams.
Seahawks can beat the Patriots any given Sunday, but I would not be surprised if Patriots blow them out. And even though I'm pretty sure that with 2 weeks of preparation, it's probably going to be a closer game, but I just don't understand the Seahawks phobia. I don't understand why
no one's afraid of them.
The people on
there's no phobia.
Boston think that Seahawks are going to win the game. Like that's too much Seahawks phobia that I see that I don't get.
Yeah, there's no phobia, Belarco. Just the Patriots.
Thanks, Belarco.
The Patriots are one of the best teams in football. And Seattle is one of the best teams in football. There's no phobia involved here. I'm not willing to discredit. Just because I totally agree the Patriots played the much more difficult schedule, but I'm not willing to discredit Seattle. They're the defending champs. They've beaten everybody. They beat everybody last year. They beat everybody this year. They've had all kinds of internal turmoil that they've dealt with. They had to make a major trade in the middle of the season. They've reinvented themselves, and yet they're still here. I'm not ready to say that their only reason they're here is because they got to play Ryan Lindley in at the end of the year for Arizona. It's a good football team. The Patriots are a good football team too.
But there's no reason to fear them.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Why would you fear anybody? You think anybody's afraid of the Patriots? Why would you be afraid if you're in the Super Bowl?
You're healthy. You're talented. You're proven. You're everything. I think there are times when teams don't hit the Super Bowl. Right, Gronk gets hurt, or things of that
Something
nature.
Something happens that changes your outlook.
There is no reason for the Patriots to be considered anything else than a legitimate contender to win this game and crown themselves the best team.
Absolutely,
for this
could see a scenario where they could win this game.
And want to crown them? Crown them
easily.
Well, I'm gonna crown them.
Well, everybody's crowning the Patriots on this show.
On this show,
right?
Wow, even you.
Patriots are favored.
That's why Belarco.
You guys had the numbers
yesterday.
That's
why Belarco's calling in because he needs that sanctuary.
Wait,
he's surrounded by people. Who think Seattle's
we'll talk about
kill
that tomorrow.
Oh, you're such a JJ.
We make our picks tomorrow.
Muhammad writes in, are the Seahawks better this year or last year?
Seahawks better this year.
First in a series of questions.
I think their defense was playing a little bit better last year.
I think they're better this year.
But I think they're better this year overall because
I think
of the experience
matters.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
That's a tough question to answer. I like the points that you both made, but I would have to go with last year. I think they played better last year, and I think they were a little bit deeper in terms of their roster.
All right. Are the Patriots better this year or last year?
Oh, this year.
No question.
By
this
a lot.
Year.
Okay.
Doors.
Are the Patriots better than last year's Broncos that crushed us?
Are the Patriots better than last year?
I say yes.
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I say yes.
I don't know. Close.
I say this defense in that game last year, it's a whole different ballgame.
It sounds like we're getting into a
Depending on your answers, we could see your stance in the game. Who's we? I don't know. I'm very worried about the game. I think the Seahawks are tough, and the game could get ugly if they push us around like last year. Paul, tell me why this game is different from last year. Broncos were very good last year, and don't forget they crushed us in the AFC Championship game.
I do think the Patriots are a lot better than that team was, though, and especially with the health situation. I don't want to play Andy's side of the road. I'll leave that to you because I don't want to, you know, get you all upset when I start talking about Gronk. The Patriots are so much healthier. They're so much better on defense than they were last year. It's almost not really worth comparing.
Right.
You know, Seattle, I think, is a comparable situation. Denver, I think, is a comparable situation, but the Patriots are not. The team that finished that AFC Championship game is not comparable to this one. I think Denver and Seattle are comparable to their teams.
No,
yes. I agree, Fred.
They had nothing left on offense by the time they got to that game.
Or defense.
You know?
I mean, think about it. You have Revis and Browner.
Right.
Right? That's two high-level corners that are – I mean, that totally changes any game.
They went out and put the money into the defense, and it worked.
And then you add the other stuff. You know, Jamie Collins.
Right, getting
who
better.
Who he is now.
Yeah.
And what he brings to the table. Yeah, I don't really like
and a healthier Vince Wilfork.
Vinsanity.
Which makes a big difference in the running game.
Yeah, I tell you, I wouldn't want to play the Seahawks without Vince.
Oh, of course not.
Let's go to Mick in Virginia on the line. Hey, Mick.
Snapchat.
Hey.
Hey, Mick. What's up, bud?
Nothing. First of all, I got a something to point out here.
Okay.
All you, everyone for their predictions for this game are going low. But I think that both of these defenses are going to, they're going to break down with both these good offenses. So I think it's going to be a high scoring game, first of all.
Okay.
And, second of all, I was going to ask, how hurt do you think Richard Sherman is? And if he is really hurt, how much of a factor will be in this game?
Very little. I don't think he's that hurt.
I don't think it's going to be a very big factor either.
Yeah. I think that Earl Thomas is the much more significant injury of those two. I think Sherman fully participated in practice last week.
Yeah, he did.
I'm not
I don't see any reason why you would do that if he was dealing with
it. I think it would take a freak thing to re-injure it and make him.
Now, if the Patriots score a couple quick touchdowns, Sherman's elbow will start to really hurt.
It almost reminded me. Do you remember the Rondo thing in the playoffs that year, Andy, when he got his elbow snapped back? During that game, it was a lot of pain, but then it was fine.
Right.
And that's kind of what I look like.
That's how a lot of hyperextensions work.
Right. There's an initial stress on the an acute injury.
And it's mentally,
it gets better.
When you hyperextend something, you think you've done something bad because you feel – A joint bend in a direction
that
it's not
flash
supposed, right.
goes off in your
like
in
we've
your
seen
eyes.
It. Brewski had it one year. I think Ninkovich had it one year.
Yeah, it was
it's
gross.
Like an immediate like wow that's not supposed to happen, and then it feels like it's working.
And the hit that Sherman, I mean that did go the wrong way. That was gross.
Cam Chancellor, right?
Yeah,
in a dark place.
It was in a dark place.
What else you got, Mick?
I can't remember. How many did PED charges did the Seahawks get this year? Didn't they have like 3 or 4 this year?
How many what?
PEDs.
Steroids?
Oh, charges.
Oh, I don't know if they had any this year. But they've had a lot.
Yeah.
They've had a lot.
You know, people are focusing more on Deflategate than they are.
Well, Deflategate is so unique, and every team has had PED charges.
I don't think Patriots fans want anybody focusing on PED charges. They've had a few of those, too, this year.
All right, Mick, thanks for calling.
So he thinks it's higher scoring. Is that what he said?
Yeah, he thinks it's going to be a high-scoring game.
Defense is going to get worn down.
And I'm not sure that's such a bold prediction.
I kind of agree with him. I don't think it's going to be a very high-scoring game.
You know, remember that Carolina Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
Carolina had a good defense, but that was at the time, wasn't it? Didn't it break a record for total points?
Certainly in the quarters.
No, it was one quarter. I think it was I think it might have been the fourth quarter.
Second and fourth.
Second, because there was no points in the first and third.
Yeah. I mean, these games can be funny sometimes. All of a sudden, like,
injuries.
One team's, yeah, one
that was
team
all
scores.
About injuries. That,
but also big plays and momentum.
Yeah, yeah.
These
yeah.
games where the environment before it kind of settles in, yeah. you know, there can be big plays that you know. Look at you, you had a freaking snap go over a guy's head that
right.
set a tone for a game.
And you were talking about when you were watching some of the football marathon on NFL Network with the Super Bowls and stuff, and you forget, like, Dexter Reed was in the game
yeah.
against Philadelphia. Well, that Carolina one, it was Sean Mayer
yep.
playing that role. And there were guys playing in that game that hadn't played all
That's
year.
How all those Super Bowls are when you watch them. This one, not the same. Everybody who's out there, you're not going to look back and say, that guy shouldn't have been on the field in a Super Bowl. Well, I guess injuries can happen. But
there's no way that Carolina scores 29 points in that game if Rodney and Eugene
right.
Wilson didn't get hurt.
But, I mean, even the Daron Harmon, if he plays, is a better player than Dexter Reed or Sean Mayer. You know what I mean? You even have, you know,
right.
Kyle Arrington is playing.
The
He's a former starter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're unlikely to see, you'd have to get down to like Nate Ebner playing safety, and then you'd right. be like, oh, what happened?
Which he did against Seattle a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Him and Tavon were the deep guys.
Alan Longmeadow Mass, I'm a longtime listener. First time I've emailed. From a guy who listens to a lot of sports radio, your show is by far the best.
We
Thank
talk
you.
About.
I gotta say, with the defense we now have, I feel better. Wait a minute. I gotta say, with the defense we have now,
I feel better
about this game than I have the last two Super Bowls.
I speak for it.
I feel like this has a good chance of being a relatively low-scoring game, high teens to low 20s for both teams. My question is for Paul. How large of a lead would either team have for you to give the nod?
The nod is something you can't just throw out there. Yeah.
No,
it's
not
gotta,
about
gotta,
a lead.
You got to feel
it's
it.
It's about a feeling.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I, you know, Andy keeps saying stuff
often
like this.
Wrong.
It's not often wrong. You know what? You're often wrong. How's that sound? Although I'll just wait and see what happens before I make a determination. I'll stop doing it like you do. But you know how you keep saying things like that person who had the scenario, if you need a field goal at the end of the game to stop, or do you need a touchdown at the end of the game to make
yeah,
it?
Right.
Well, what kind of game is it? That matters.
Fred just lost composure over there.
What's the matter?
It's just so funny because
you don't have your little Apple.
No, Kevin's usually in another room, and so when Andy's lighting him up,
oh.
you know we're used to it, and he just did it now, and Kevin just was like, whoa.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, see what we have to put up with, Kevin? You think I'm
No spray? One would have known that had you not lost control
yes,
of yourself.
But we would know, Andy.
Baloney, you could hear that thing in Scottsdale.
Did you see the latest prop bet I just tweeted? Cleavage or no cleavage for Katy Perry?
Oh, definitely.
Cleavage.
Cleavage.
Oh, yeah.
Cleavage. Well, cleavage, you got to bet 500 to win 100.
Without the cleavage, leavage at home. I don't even know what
I don't know what you're talking about.
She can sing, you know. She's an entertainer.
Oh, she stinks.
She's an entertainer.
She doesn't stink.
She's an entertainer?
I'll bet
yes.
Okay. I'll bet it doesn't stink.
But she's not a great singer.
Know. That don't stink.
Yeah.
Well, you're one of those pops. No, oh, nothing pop
yeah.
can be good.
It's not
I didn't say that.
It's not Pearl Jam, so it's not
right.
really music.
I like the Beatles. I like their music.
You're an idiot.
Let's go to Melvin in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up?
Got a couple of quick points. I know, Andy, you had talked about, I guess, before we played the Ravens, and it was a call, I guess, I referenced early in the year, too, about, you know, how your confidence level towards the beginning of the game. I guess you said you'll know after the first series or the first play or a couple of things. I think with anybody that doesn't play sports, you know, you kind of get an eye-opener once you get into the game and you kind of really get a test of your opponent. And that is kind of related to this offensive line. They're going to get hit in the mouth. There's no doubt about it. I think the Seahawks are a really good team. Out of the linemen that we have, and then I'll go, the top three linemen, I would, of course, they're a lot more confident with the Mankins, with the, you know, grimy, gritty, you know, somebody that can match that intensity and nastiness that the Seahawks bring. What three linemen do you think now, out of the five, I guess, would match that kind of, you know, intensity that I feel like the Seahawks would bring? And then I'll let you all go. I'll talk to you all later.
Okay.
Intensity. So we're not just talking about skill. We're talking about intensity.
You don't look at the Patriots' offensive line and think, you know, intense.
Well, I think Wendell is pretty intense on the field.
Yeah.
I think he's a scrappy, dirty
you do.
And he has to be. I think he has
to be.
Well,
he's an overachiever, so he's undersized.
Well,
he needs to be.
I looked at him as having to be fundamentally sound.
Yeah.
But he's also scrappy, high motor, whatever. However you want to term it, he does it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think Stork's got some of that, too. I think Stork is a scrappy, borderline dirty. He'll go extra mile.
You know who I think is a little underrated in that aspect, too, is Vollmer. I see him getting into a lot. Like, he gets in, stands up a lot for his teammates. It doesn't, like, he doesn't get penalties for it.
Right.
But he sticks his nose in there a lot, too. And
he's such a nice
he's
guy.
He's such a nice guy. You don't really think of him that way, but.
Nine.
And he's certainly not to the level that Logan Mankins was, but.
I've never seen him punch anyone in the testicles. No,
but I think he has a little bit of an edge when he's on the field, too.
And you have to. I mean, if you play in the end, I mean, I know we talk about Solder being sort of quiet and so. You have to. I mean, he's battling behemoths every play and getting, you know, hit in the chin, hit in the throat, poke, you know, whatever. They all have an
edge. At some point in the game, you're going to get sick of seeing the other guy and having that happen to you.
But if I had to pick one, I think I would go Wendell, which is, I think he's a nice quiet. When you see him, when he's got those little glasses on that he wears going through the locker room, you wouldn't necessarily think it, but I think he's got a little edge.
Nervous in Miami writes in.
Has happened? Why is everybody nervous?
This hurts to say, but no matter how I look at it, Seattle is the superior team in every way. Please tell me where I'm wrong. It looks to me that the matchups favor Seattle. Seattle has a dominant and consistent defense. Ours is good usually, really good once in a while, and mediocre at times. Seattle has the best running game in the league. Our run D is inconsistent. Our running game inconsistent. Our passing game by no means great. No deep threat from either receiver and not a strength of Brady's. And, of course, the inconsistent play of the O-line. Wilson accounted for more yards, air and ground, than Brady. His QB rating is within 2 points, and his interception percentage is identical. Also, two of Wilson's picks last week were totally on the receiver. I don't see two such games in a row. Green Bay, a better offense than ours, got 5 turnovers and could only muster 22 points.
But they weren't a better offense that day. They didn't score touchdowns.
Defense historically performs better in these games. I hope I'm wrong, while Fred says, yeah, right, and accuses me of being a Jets fan.
That was a very negative view of the game, I think.
Well, I mean, is there anything he said that...
No, but I think everywhere he could have gone 50-50, he went negative instead of being reasonable and saying 50-50s. Like, is Green Bay a better offense? Well, probably, but they didn't play better.
No, but his point is the reason they didn't play better is the other team. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, but... See, I think the Patriots' offense is comparable to Green Bay's. Yeah. I don't think there's a massive leap.
He also takes into account the health of Rodgers in that game, and it was raining. I mean, it makes a difference.
Well, it was doing everything in that game. It was sunny out for large portions of the game, and they couldn't do anything either.
Right.
But
these are the two best teams in football. It's not obvious. It's not obvious like one is better in this than everything.
I think
like,
that the Patriots' offense is comparable to Green Bay's.
I agree with you. I don't think the Patriots' run defense was inconsistent over the second half of the season. They had a couple little hiccups. That other than that, they were really good, I thought, for 8 of 10 games or whatever the numbers are. Justin Forsett ran on them a little bit.
Cavern in West Palm Beach. Quick story, then my question. The Sunday after the divisional round, the minister at our church was speaking about a transformational Christian. My immediate thoughts shifted to Fred and the pre-free agency talk of acquiring Revis because he was a transformational player. I spent the rest of service thinking about Fred, Revis, and our team. So to Fred, I say, thanks for ruining that service, but also for being right about Revis. I like being associated with transformational Christians, right?
Sure.
You know, change people's
lives.
Did
he go up to the priest after and say thank you for your service?
Right. Now
What's
for my question.
Christian?
I see a lot of parallels with this team and our 03 Super Bowl team.
That makes them
How does this Seahawks team compare to the Panthers that we faced? I remember the Panthers being a tough physical team who was a little more explosive on offense than the Seahawks are. What are your thoughts?
The Seahawks, the Panthers team they played in the Super Bowl in 03?
03.
Not even, that wasn't even on the planet as the Patriots are now. Or the Seahawks are now.
No.
Do you think? That was an overachieving team that upset, at least two teams just to get there.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Seahawks are the dominant team in football.
And despite the fact that Jake DeLone was in a shootout with Tom Brady, I don't really think Jake DeLone was that good.
And they didn't have a high-powered offense. They did that day, but that's not what they were.
I mean, I have to admit, I remember thinking I was surprised that Carolina made it such a game.
I thought it was going to be a walkover. Yeah. Absolutely. I totally agree
I think
with
they
you.
Did, too. I don't think Bill thought DeLone was a very good player.
Yeah, and I think
he was right. He just had one good day.
I think all that talk was motivation for the Panthers, you know, especially the whole, you know, I think Patriots were talking about how tough the receivers were.
No, it was the other way around.
That was the Eagles game.
How tough they were.
Oh, that was the Eagles game?
Yeah. That was an Eagles game where they were flexing their muscles the whole game.
I remember the Carolina game. They were talking about how, you know, their corners were going to rough up the Patriots receivers.
Because the week before, Carolina, and remember when everybody complained about the Patriots roughing up the Colts, people said Carolina was doing the same thing in the NFC.
Exactly.
Well, that's what
that was, that physical.
You're right. That is where that was from. Now that you mention it, and that was one of the things that was really ironic about the whole Bill Polian thing. It's like everybody blamed him.
Right.
I mean, Andy Reid was beside himself in that post-game press conference after that game. Ricky Manning Jr. had the three picks, I think. And that was as much a part of that change as anything else. But that Patriots team was so dominant. I remember when they fell behind in the Super Bowl in the fourth quarter, it was the first time they had trailed in something like eight games.
Oh, yeah.
Matter of fact, it was the last time we were in that stadium when we played Houston in the regular season. It was the last time the Patriots had even trailed in a game. No one thought Carolina was even on the same stratosphere.
Brian in Essex, Vermont has a rebuttal to Nervous in Miami's email.
See, this is what I think you can do, and I bet you this is legitimate.
He says, I think people need to pump the brakes.
No, you a-hole!
Don't chastise
me. I think people need to pump the brakes on the whole our defense has been inconsistent thing. Look, the Ravens game was an outlier. Think about it. Everyone loves to point out that Seattle's given up 14 points in the second half of all the last eight games combined. Well, the Patriots gave up 13 points in that same time frame against better offenses. So let's be realistic. We went off the deep end after the Ravens game because the offense and defense looked poor. Well, they turned it around in the Colts game, and it's rather illogical to say they've been inconsistent based upon one game in a stretch of eight. Anyway, let's give this defense the respect it deserves. Not saying the Patriots are going to destroy the Seahawks, but the Seahawks' offense is nowhere near the Patriots, and the defenses aren't nearly far enough apart to be so down on this matchup. There you go.
Is that right, those numbers?
Didn't
the Patriots just give up 10 points in the second half to the Ravens?
Like no, he's saying that's an outlier. He's saying
So we're saying if we don't count that.
Right, okay. Yeah.
I get it. My bad. No, I was confused. I was trying to find out how we only allowed 13 points in a span of eight games when we allowed 10 in one of them.
Right.
That's why it didn't make sense to me, but I didn't realize we weren't counting that game.
All right, we'll take one more call, then we'll take a break, and we'll be back for another hour of PFW in Progress. John in Houston's on the line. Hey, John.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, I just want to say that this whole Deflategate thing, I'm just so happy that it seems like it's lost steam over the past couple of days.
It's a little deflated, You're right.
Yeah, it seems like it's lost, at least until after the Super Bowl. And I'm just happy about that. But yesterday I read something on, was it the NFL? I think it was the NFL website and Yahoo, where they're talking about LeGarrette Blount and Belichick somehow crafted this scheme so that LeGarrette Blount would leave Pittsburgh and come to New England. I just thought that was asinine and stupid.
Yeah, it was.
Seems pretty far-fetched to know the guy's going to get through waivers and all that, but
exactly.
Whatever.
Exactly. I just felt like they were fishing for some kind of a story that wasn't there. But anyway, throughout the week, I've been alternating between nervous and ecstatic or, you know, excited for the game. I just feel like, I think at this point right now, I feel like we're going to win, and I think we're going to win comfortably. I don't know if that's justified or not, but that's just the way I feel. Yesterday, I was watching a video on Tom Brady's Facebook page. I think it's called Who's With Us, something like that. And it's a really good video in that, you know, it juxtaposes the present or, you know, the current season with past season. So it shows, I don't know the players, but, you know, it shows number 86 in one of the previous seasons throwing a touchdown, or throwing a deep ball, and it shows Amendola from the AFC divisional round catching the pass, and it shows Revis intercepting the pass from Andrew Luck this AFC championship game, and it shows Ty Law, you know, with the same number and everything, you know, running into the end zone. And I thought it was a really nice video, and it got me pumped up for the game, and I'm just excited.
All right, nice. Cool. Thanks for the call, John. John in Houston. All right, Kevin, Zach's back there. Hey, Zach, how you doing? We're going to take a break now. When we come back, another hour of PFW in Progress right after this.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Domino's. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
Hey, fans, think the Patriots are going all the way? Prove it. Tweet your vote using hashtag who's going to win to your Super Bowl 49 prediction on the map. Then visit whosgoingtowin.com to see the fandom of the entire nation. Verizon, powering fandom with the most powerful network. All anybody right. check that recently?
What's that?
Why don't you check that, Kevin?
Do you get anything if I check it?
No.
Oh.
I just want to know what the, how the nation is voting.
I just wanted to make sure you didn't benefit from
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we should get a pulse of the nation.
Now that
yeah.
you're doing reads and stuff, I don't want
is this a paid
I don't
read.
Want, I don't want this to be any profit for you.
Can I get a free phone? Anything?
John in South Carolina writes in, after 2 weeks of our team getting crapped on, do you think Paul could cut a guy a break?
Nope.
You want the Patriots fans to look at the team with a loudmouth a-hole calling out the owner's integrity and give them an even look? Hell no. They didn't play the competition that we played, and I do think Green Bay is a better team.
That.
They just have a ding-dong for a coach. So, no, I don't think we are playing the best team in the NFC.
Oh, then your argument is with Fred, not me.
Even
Fred thinks these are the two best teams in football.
Even if they were, I wouldn't think it. To hell with them, and while we're at it, to hell with Ray Lewis, Troy Aikman, and Mark Brunell. And as far as the actual game goes, I think we attack the edge with quick passes using Gronk as a decoy. On defense, we give up a few big plays to keep the sea chickens in the game, but we eventually pull away. So there.
I think eventually pull away is probably a safe prediction.
What do you about to think about this scenario? Both teams are so emotionally jacked up that the first team that kind of has bad things happen to it, that's it.
No,
I
think these are two resilient,
leadership-driven,
veteran, experienced. No chance.
Okay.
I won't say no chance.
I think too much of both teams to think they'll fold it and pack their tent in if something bad happens.
Okay, Jeff from Sheffield, I just rewatched the Seattle-Green Bay game, and I didn't realize how bad Seattle's offensive line was. They are apparently dinged up. I think we may actually get some pressure on Wilson, especially with blitzes off the tackles where they have injuries. What do you think?
I agree. I think the Seattle offensive line is terrible.
Yeah, I have problems predicting the Patriots to ever get pressure.
Cause I don't know what it's going to mean.
I predict pressure, they don't get pressure. And
yeah, the Seahawks do not have a good offensive line.
Yeah, I don't think we have a very good pass rush.
The phones are stacked up. Let's go to Matt and Cali. Hey, Matt.
What's up, guys? How you guys doing?
How's good.
Right. It's good to see you guys. Good to hear you guys. So I got a couple points here. So what I'm going to say is that I feel like this game, I feel like Seattle, their defense is great. They're really good. And when I saw them, when that stretch, when they scored like 7 points, only about 7 points, they didn't play a quarterback. And then until they got to Green Bay, they played a really good quarterback. I don't trust Cam Newton. But when they got played Green Bay, and they allowed 22 points. They played a good quarterback.
They turned the ball over five times to allow 22 points.
Yeah, I know, but they still scored 22 points. And like, I trust me, they left points on the field.
I know, because they got stopped. That's my point. They got 3 points gifted to them about four different times.
Yeah. All right. It's a bad coaching anyway. All right. So for this game, we'll move on. For this game, I'm feeling numb.
Can I quit the rest of the week?
Huh?
I'm asking Fred.
No, he's not talking to you. Go ahead. Go ahead.
We're not allowed to bring any objectivity to the show,
Matt.
I guess.
Don't listen to Paul.
Dante Hightower game.
Yeah. What was that?
I feel like this is a Dante Hightower game. I feel like he's going to have to use that 275 pound body, top lynch, and the little holes we can get, because I think he's our best run stuffer as a linebacker, and I think that he's going to have like a 9 to 12 tackle kind of game, and that's the way I'm feeling. And I hope in the end, when it's all said and done, I hope Gronk wins the MVP to get the first MVP at the tight end, I think, at the Super Bowl. Is that true?
Tight end to win MVP of the Super Bowl?
Yeah,
I think that would be a first.
Yeah.
You know who should have?
Yeah, oh, for crying out loud.
Bavaro.
Yeah.
Dan Ross.
Yeah. So, and after that, in my prediction, I'm going to go with Paul. I think Paul's been right throughout the playoffs, so where Paul says I'm going with.
Well, Paul says the Seahawks are going to blow him out.
I did not say that.
All right, thanks, Matt.
But I don't think you want to go with my pick.
And
you'll find out tomorrow when we make picks.
I don't think it's just Hightower. I think this is a big Collins-Hightower game.
Yeah,
I think
Collins.
They are very much going to be key to the defense of Wilson, Lynch. And I agree with him that Hightower is their best, I think, run-stuffing linebacker.
Let's see. Alok writes in. I'm a longtime listener, first-time emailer.
He's
first want to say that all four of you guys do an awesome job
Thanks
not
a lot.
Just analyzing the game, but the whole show, including the friendly banter and the unforeseen funny arguments among you, makes the show a great success.
The unforeseen funny arguments.
Well, the spur of the moment.
They are.
There's nothing scripted.
Planned. Nothing.
Yeah, we do not prepare at all.
it's painfully obvious to anyone listening.
My question is to Andy and Paul. You both said during a show that during the 2007 Super Bowl that when the team traveled, you knew they were in trouble.
Oh, that's it. That's Andy.
You said there were signs that the team took it as a business trip and they were not having fun. And then you hopefully said this year it'll be different. What is your feeling this year? Is the team having fun? Are they relaxed?
I think they are. I do think they are more relaxed, but it's a totally different situation. That was an unprecedented situation. They were trying to make history, and we've since heard all of them talk about how stressful it was and the pressure and all that. You know, this is different. There is, you know, they're just a normal Super Bowl-type team looking to win a Super Bowl. You know, if there's pressure on anyone, I guess you could argue maybe there's some Belichick-Brady pressure, those two guys, but I don't think that affects a lot of – that's within them. That's within their own heads, and I know they're important members of the team. But I think Jamie Collins, Dante Hightower, these guys are just looking to win a Super Bowl. You know, LeGarrette Blount, you know, Rob Gronkowski. He's how happy is he that he's healthy? I wrote about this today. He's now going to a Super Bowl healthy, feeling 100%, ready to go.
He looks as loose as anybody.
Well, he's always loose.
No, but, you know, we've seen him.
He could use a little tightening.
But my point is we've seen him when he's been down.
He's
admitted to vulnerabilities, having doubts about his health. And
he did snap at me after the loss in Indy.
Yeah, well, he was snapping at people after week whatever it was, week five, whenever, week six maybe, when he was saying, you know, I'm tired of answering these questions about my health. You know, so we've seen him. And the other thing, too, is about Brady and Belichick. If they don't win another Super Bowl in their careers, I think they still have a legacy that is Hall of Fame worthy.
Oh, God,
you know,
yeah.
They won 3 out of 4 Super Bowls in 3 out of 4 years. They had a historic run in 07. They went to now 6 Super Bowls. Even if they never go again and never win,
they can only add a cherry.
They can only add to their legacy. I don't think their legacy can be diminished at all.
I agree with you.
That's what I said. It was a good round the – what did I do that for? Round the NFL. You can't lose a legacy. Once you've achieved a certain level of
legacy. Well, you can tarnish.
But not by losing.
But not by losing.
By raping somebody or murdering somebody is how you lose
not
a legacy.
Not by losing a football game.
Not by losing a football game.
Especially when the football game is the freaking Super Bowl. Right. Going to a Super Bowl. Only Michael Felger ever thought going to a Super Bowl was a bad thing. And the only guy on the planet.
In fact, not only can I think they can add to their legacy, they would make such a profound statement by winning another Super Bowl 10 years after winning their last one. The same coach, the same quarterback on the same team. That in itself, I think, is historic.
And Brady
and unprecedented.
Historic,
and I think that would make their legacy even more profound.
Yeah, this is the would be the biggest gap for a quarterback from the first one and the latest one.
Right.
Yeah. 13, something
That'd
like
be
that.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But it's quite believable, Eric, because I think
because it's happening. I know.
Sylvia in Seattle says, do you guys buy into Seattle isn't the same on the road theory?
Yes.
And if so, do you guys think there's any way in hell this gets out of hand in favor of us?
Yes.
I don't think that, but Andy does.
They were like bats out of hell last year in this game, but I don't know how much of that was Manning pooping his pants and it was being something cold in MetLife or the Hawks being legit no matter where they play.
Plus it was loud and Fox didn't really think that was going to happen.
No, I think that there's definitely something to Seattle on the road. I think neither team is anywhere near as effective away from their home stadium, to be honest with you.
Kyle's on the phone. He's from Cali. Hey, Kyle.
Kyle.
Hello? Hello?
Yes.
Hello? Oh, it's Tayo. Sorry.
Tayo.
Tayo? Oh, I'm sorry.
Like Cruz.
Yeah. Oh,
for God's sake. We tell you this every time he calls.
Oh, sorry.
You guys were talking about the legacy of Brady and Belichick earlier, and I really feel that this is a legacy game. I feel like we kind of need this one because losing our last three, I mean, the Patriots are still great, but they just look bad to me. I mean, losing your last three Super Bowls with all this, I guess, with people kind of having the perception that we cheat, I feel like we kind of need this one. Ever since the Kansas City game, I've pretty much been mentally prepared to lose every game.
what an uplifting phone call this is.
I don't want to take all the heat anymore. Some of the callers are doing a lot worse than I am.
And the Super Bowl is no different. I'm really mentally prepared to lose the Super Bowl. I mean, sure. Last two I haven't been. I thought we had no chance of losing, and after the game, I just felt terrible. But I'm expecting a dogfight. I do think we will win the game, but I just think it's going to be, a close game, all the way to the end.
It would definitely be worthy.
Every Patriots Super Bowl is a close game to the end, so you can pretty much guarantee that. Yeah.
I think if this game right now, in very similar terms as I thought of the Indianapolis one, the Patriots with the Giants, the second one, the first Giants game, blowout city. I didn't think any chance in the world. But the second one, to me, is very similar to this one. Plus or one, one or two, either way, plus or minus. I think I could easily see a scenario. I'm hearing these callers and emailers unfold a game plan, a scenario, and I'm like, yep, that all makes sense to me. I think the Patriots will win. And then someone calls in and has Seattle doing A, B, and C, and I could see all of that.
I think
it's a toss-up game.
It's going to be a very entertaining Super Bowl, a very good game.
I hope so. I thought that last year, and it wasn't. we'll see how it unfolds.
Yeah, it definitely could be a shirt-off in the press box game for me.
Yeah?
Yep.
Just please do me a favor. Keep your pants on.
Okay. Simondo in UK. Great job as always, he says.
It's actually Kyle.
what's your view on Marshawn Lynch's persona on Media Day? I watched back the edited version of his 5 minutes in front of the media answering every question with "I'm only here so I don't get fined" is pathetic.
Yeah.
Isn't that blatant disrespect for the league?
Yes,
I can understand you don't want to talk to the media, but if you're being paid as much as he is, what's the harm to answer a few questions? Fine, say no comment if you don't like the question, but surely Hawks fans want to hear from their franchise running back. I think you should be fined for being an immature little kid.
I agree more with everything he said.
I think it warrants a suspension. The fine hasn't worked.
Seems like they have to up it or something.
Make the punishment more severe.
Yep.
Yeah.
Suspend him for the Super Bowl.
Answer questions like a human being.
That doesn't bother me at all.
Paul, doesn't bother you.
Don't
what care. If a number of players start doing the same thing?
It doesn't bother me.
Well, come
There's
on.
A lot of guys that don't want to talk, and I don't think that he needs to be rude like he is. And I agree with the insults being lobbied against him. And I agree with the media asking him questions. It's well within the media's rights to be asking questions to him, but I don't care if he answers them.
I do. It's part of the job.
Yeah,
it's part of the job.
He likes to take $5 million. Mm-hmm. Well, you know,
ideally it would
job.
Be, but it doesn't bother me.
Go home. Go run in a cornfield somewhere, and nobody will bother you. Nobody will ask you a single
damn question. Yeah, it doesn't bother me as it does some people,
right.
Eric. But
and Andy.
But no, I hate him too.
But I do think that something has to be done because, like I just said, what if every player took that?
Exactly.
Hat, you know,
then you could never write a story about anybody,
right?
Then fans would have nothing to read.
Yeah,
and eventually
and
it
we would
cost
have
you
nothing
money.
To learn. Right.
I know they think they can do whatever they want and they don't need the media and quotes and stories and coverage, but they do. It's part of the process. It's part of the value, the overall experience of fans of the National Football League.
But I tell you what, and it was a sad commentary too because. The largest crowd around any player today at the Seahawks Hotel, Marshawn Lynch.
Well, yeah. I mean,
because everyone was trying to be the person that gets him to say something.
Which, guess what?
Yeah.
If he was just a normal guy and just had non-answers,
no one would come bother him.
Right. Yeah, he's not really good.
The better strategy for him early on would have been just be boring as hell.
As hell, right.
I think you'd be the guy sitting at the table with no one really talking to him.
Right. And, who does that? And he doesn't do it to be a jerk because we've talked to him enough times to know. But Jamie Collins doesn't like to talk to the media, but he does it.
Right.
And when you ask him a question like a normal person, he gives you an answer. It might not be the greatest answer you've ever heard, but he's answering the actual question you asked him. He doesn't say, if you ask him, Jamie, what made you go from safety to linebacker? He doesn't say Cheerios are good.
Right.
He doesn't come up with idiotic non-answers.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't talk, but he was smart enough to give you a non-answer so you didn't ask him again.
Right.
Because I think he went the whole season without talking after any game.
Pretty much,
He went the whole season without talking after any game. But he's not getting himself fined.
And he's not getting himself hated.
Because when you answer the questions with non-answers, you people will stop coming.
Right.
Right.
And he was smart enough to do it that way as opposed to
the
way
Lynch
does it.
Lynch clearly wants to be.
Lynch has cost himself money. I don't, as long as you fine him, I don't. Yeah. You know,
but he clearly wants to be in the spotlight if he keeps putting this act on all the time.
Right, that's true. I mean, it's now become a circus.
Yeah.
And, you know, as much as we like to bash the media, most of the people in that scrum are human beings, and they deserve to be treated that way.
Well, you know, that's true. That part is true. I don't like the way that a lot of times we get treated, but, you know, people don't want to hear our problems.
Kevin.
And the funny thing, too, just one last thing, Fred. A lot of these guys who, quote, unquote, despise the media and having to talk to the media, what's the first thing that they want to do when they stop playing?
Of course.
Is become one of us.
Of course.
Hypocrites.
Yep. Kevin in North Carolina, both teams have the same record. Both teams have good defense. I think it will come down to the Patriots executing on offense. The Patriots have a lot more weapons on offense than Seattle does. These are the two very best teams in the NFL this year. Both stand equal chances of winning, but there's no reason to fear this team. I think both teams play their best.
Both
I don't
teams
know.
Play their best.
The Patriots will come out on top. Good. That if was missing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go,
Fred. Uh-oh, Paul.
What?
The two teams play their best. They play a perfect game. Who wins?
Here's where Andy.
It's a tie.
Andy claims it's impossible.
Imagine if they had a tie in the Super Bowl. What would happen if there was a tie at the end of,
they would
of overtime
playing.
In the Super Bowl?
They would keep playing.
Would be an unprecedented, like, just continuous.
Goodell just walks on the field after the third, you know, quarter and just says, all right, that's it.
Ask?
I'm calling the game.
It's like how, I mean, I just imagine if it was tied at the end of regulation, the end of the overtime, they just kept tying. They just couldn't score. How long it would go until somebody finally.
Battle of attrition.
Yeah.
You play to win the game.
Let's get back to the phones. Nick's
Goodell
in Boston.
Just says, you know what? You're both winners. Here,
your
each have a trophy.
In my book. There are no losers here.
Well, we now know there's multiple trophies. They're ready to hand out. There's no sanctity in that process.
Hey, Nick, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Yep.
Enjoying that Arizona sun, I imagine.
Hell yeah.
We're inside mostly, but it's
nice. Actually a little chilly out. I have shorts and short sleeves, and there was a nip in the air.
Oh, man, I feel so bad for you. I walked to work in 2 feet of snow. So it's
uphill, both ways.
That's right.
I actually feel bad that I'm not experiencing the snow.
I like snow.
I like the snow, and I don't like being away from home when I know that home is being inundated like it is.
I mean, it was fun to play, you know, a little catch with the football in the middle of Mass Ave yesterday, so that was fun. which we actually did. I'm not even kidding.
I believe you.
But, no, it was fun, but, you know, back to work. But anyway, I'm really shocked at all these people being so negative right now. I mean, like, I'm not going to say I'm brimming with confidence about this matchup, but I think that if we can at least take the run game out with Lynch and any possible scrambles from Russell Wilson, we're going to have the upper hand offensively.
I agree 1,000%.
I think
if you control their offense and they can't control yours, you're probably going to have the upper hand.
He's being
right. I mean, but I'm just saying, you know, their receivers don't scare me at all. So I'm just as long as that defense can step up. I'm really also. I know you guys were talking about, you know, Collins and Hightower and wanting to see big games out of them, but I really want to see Chandler Jones make a little bit of a comeback, especially since he's been a little bit quiet in the playoffs. He wasn't really able to get to Andrew Luck at all, even though we did pressure him into making some poor throws, but no sacks really. So I don't know if it's possible to sack Russell Wilson. It's really hard to do that unless you immediately collapse the pocket, but I want to see some more out of Chandler Jones. And, you know, I think that stopping Marshawn Lynch is the key to us winning the game because I think our defense is, you know, I know Legion of Boom is all like intimidating or whatever, but I really have faith in our defense. And if we stop Marshawn Lynch and Russell Wilson, I think we win.
I agree.
And I'm not going to be nearly as sarcastic as Paul when I say it.
I think basically what he's saying is if you do that, they don't have as much of a fallback plan as the Patriots.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, if we're saying that about the Patriots, since you have tried so hard to get me involved in this conversation, I'll take your cheese. If they take away Gronkowski and Edelman, they have the upper hand. I mean, if you take away the other team's best offensive options, you will have the upper hand.
Rick and Dedham is on the line. Hey, Rick.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Hey. Quick question. You guys had talking about the game on Sunday and then talking about who would win in a football game between the fans. But who would win in a football game between the New England and Seattle beat writers?
Oh, New England.
New England.
Seattle's best beat writer is a guy named Claire Farnsworth.
Claire.
Right.
Okay. Who's going to win that? Eric right. Scalavino or Claire Farnsworth?
Right.
Oh, wait. Eric's our lead guy?
Yeah.
I'd take Claire.
Oh, no, I got you.
Look, we have a,
this guy, biggest
Ron
biggest
Borges day-hole. Punches guys with canes. We fight dirty. We'll do anything.
No, but in all seriousness, if they have Claire Farnsworth, Mike Sando, John Clayton, that's like the people they produce out there.
Right.
We'll kill them.
Absolutely.
Mike Salk.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike Salk.
Right. We got Mike Giardi.
So what does that get?
Thanks, Rick.
We'll unleash crazy Tom Curran on him.
If we get in trouble, we always get the ace in the hole.
Chester in Portland isn't calling, and he's writing in, so I have to read his email.
Are you capable of
this? You're going to channel his energy?
He says, with the new showtimes this week, it's nearly impossible for me to call in
Boo.
With my work demands. As we approach the home stretch of the week, I just wanted to share a few thoughts about what our mindset should be at the fan base. I feel that since Mr. Kraft basically told America to bow down and recognize who they're messing with, it's now enabled us to start and get excited and optimistic about a straight-up ass-whooping on the Seahawks this Sunday. Going into this match, my little confidence was right about 50%. Ever since Mr. Kraft's address, what? I feel that my confidence level is going up 5 to 10% each day that goes by, leaving me now at 80% confident
Woo.
In this matchup. The emotional edge will make all the difference here. Patriots Nation, I'll leave you with this. This is a pissed-off locker room. I have to believe that with every ounce of my being, that every single component of this organization, from Mr. Kraft to the equipment managers, no pun intended, are going to be absolutely fixated on performing at the highest levels they have ever done in their careers. We as fans of Patriots Nation come out every week making noise, taking over stadiums, buying apparel, and promoting our team, all in the name of representing this nation as best we can. Now I'm ready to see our beloved Patriots reciprocate that effort by coming out and showing America that this team is second to nobody. I'm going to try calling tomorrow to rally up the nation one final time as best I can. Time to rise up, Patriots Nation. Let's get them on Sunday. Over and out, Chester in Portland.
Woo!
There you go. I just thought it was funny that, you know, we're taking over stadiums, we're making noise, and we're buying apparel. It just didn't seem
incongruous.
We're buying apparel.
But that was a good email, Chester. Thank you. Bernie in Pennsylvania. Hey, Bernie.
Yeah. If you look at the Seahawks, since week 10, they, played the Giants, they won. Played the Chiefs, they lost. But since then, they haven't played a top-tier quarterback until last week, and they damn near lost the game. So how could you possibly say that, you know, they have a chance on defense against a top-tier quarterback since they haven't played one since, I'd say, San Diego, and they lost that game?
Listen, Bernie, I hope the hell you're right, but I really do believe they've got a good defense.
They have a good offense, too. I mean, they were top 10 in scoring. I mean,
I think Bernie signed out.
This is just carried over into absurdity.
I mean, they can only play the guys that are on the schedule, you know, as they always say. And we've defended the Patriots when they've played weaker teams and had good records.
And we spent a whole week completely eviscerating the Baltimore Ravens because they didn't play anybody. They didn't beat anybody. They were 1-6 against playoff teams and 0-8 against those teams. And there they were with a 14-0 lead 10 minutes into the game. Can we stop with that nonsense? At some point, can we just respect that? You don't have to say the other team is better. You don't have to say that you fear them. There's no reason for you to fear anybody. There's no reason for you to think that the Patriots aren't going to win. But do you have to, do you have to completely diminish everything the Patriots accomplished by saying the other team sucks? All you're saying is the Patriots don't deserve any credit after they win the game. The other team sucks.
John from Long Island writes in, just started listening a few weeks ago, and it's the best Patriots-related coverage anywhere. I think the Patriots' offense matches up fairly well and what the Patriots with what the Seahawks personnel is. According to Football Outsiders, the Seahawks have had trouble covering opposing tight ends and backs out of the backfield. This is good news. I expect Josh McDaniels to scheme some plays for Edelman out of the backfield to take advantage of the matchups. When it comes to the running game, would you think they would try using 6-0 linemen to try to overpower the good but undersized Seattle defensive line?
I think they could try
almost everything that they've done this year against the Seahawks.
Yeah.
They could do the six offensive linemen. They could do the four offensive linemen.
Right.
They could try to run the jumbo package with Blunt. I think they could spread them out and go four, five wide empty backfields. I think they can. They're going to do a lot of different things in this game.
When the Patriots are on defense, I would employ the same game plan against Andrew Luck. Have somebody spy Russell Wilson and pressure Wilson, but keep contained. I would expect to see an extra player in the box along with a defensive line of Jones, Wilfork, Zelinga, Branch to help in containing Marshawn Lynch. I wouldn't be surprised to see Patrick Chung and Tavon Wilson in the box with Daron Harmon over the top. And
where's Patrick Chung?
Huh?
No, he said
Devin McCourty. He was about to say Devin McCourty rolling down to cover a wide receiver. Yeah. It should be fascinating chess match between pumped and jacked and on two.
They're going to have four safeties on the field?
I don't know if
that's what he wants.
Six defensive backs?
Yeah.
And that's how we're stopping Marshawn Lynch?
No.
Let's get smaller.
I don't like the idea of that.
No, I don't either.
Let's see. Tom from New Orleans, since 1980, Super Bowl team has been 0-13 when they've lost in San Diego in the regular season. Now you guys may think Patriots won in San Diego, but the Seahawks lost. So hopefully the streak continues. So can we have three wide receivers on the left side and one on the right? And before Brady hikes, they should motion that receiver to the left because Sherman only plays on the right. Let's make him play two different situations. Okay. Hasn't other teams done that? I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to Kareem, who's in Jersey. Hey, Kareem.
Hey, Fred. How you doing, guys?
Good.
What's up?
Good, good. Hey, thanks for being out there. I hope you guys are having a good time, and thanks for covering this whole Super Bowl thing.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
You're welcome. We do it for you.
Thank you, man.
They do it because they make that.
A couple points here. I've been listening to all the calls and whatnot. Comparing Lynch to Bill Belichick conference, well, everybody hates Belichick. He doesn't say much. Oh, on to Seattle, on to Seattle. This guy's a joke, man. Lynch, are you kidding me? You almost want to punch him.
Yep.
Like, come on, man. Come on, seriously. Like, you're just making a clown out of yourself. Whatever.
But I wouldn't say that to him, though. I'm kind of afraid of him.
I bet you are. I'm afraid of him, too, but I'll punch him and just take the chance.
Oh, a lot of guys make clowns of themselves, but they don't disrespect other people in the process.
Absolutely. Right.
Hey, this guy does both.
Yeah. And he disrespects the process.
Back to Paul's point about how the fans are really, like, you know, trying to diminish every team that we play. I agree with that. I mean, you cannot take away anything away from the Patriots, who have been a great team, who have been playing very well. However, every week, man, honestly, like, I look at a Jets game, which is 17-16 or whatnot. You look at that game, and you're like, these are the guys that go in the Super Bowl? Are you kidding me? So, at the same time, you gotta respect every team you play, and that's just how it is, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I think it's going to be a tough game as everybody's looking at it. I mean, and I cannot see it being a blowout on any side. I'm actually terrified, I'm not going to lie, terrified a little bit just thinking about what Seattle did to the Broncos last year, being the best offense probably in the league, not just in the AFC. It makes me worry, you know. If we can just stop the run, I think we'll be all right. But other than that, it's going to be a great game. It's going to be a great game. Good to be there for the sixth time with Tom Brady, Bill Belichick. This is amazing for the fans. We love every moment of it. I would love to leave with a ring, though, because that will just really sum up a great, great year.
Got to win. Got to win. All right. Thanks, Kareem.
You know what?
Good call.
If the Patriots had the team that they have this year and they were playing in last year's AFC Championship game at Denver, against the team that the Broncos had last year, who was the better team?
Patriots.
I think the Broncos would have won.
You think it would have been as bad as it was?
Now, oh, God, no. They wouldn't have controlled the game the way they
did. If you're playing in Denver, that means that they had the better record.
No, I'm just saying, take those two teams.
Against the Broncos from last year.
Yeah, last year in Denver.
Right.
Just like it was, but just take this year's team and put them in the game last year.
I think it would have been.
Who's the better team?
I think it would have been a much better game. I think the Broncos were better.
With Gronkowski out there and Revis out there, Patriots win.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm not going to argue with you.
I think it would be a really good game.
Better not.
I think it's close. Yeah.
I think it would have been a much different game than the one that would not have been a bludgeoning like what Denver did. That's for sure. I just think Denver was better.
Nana writes in.
Who, yours?
I don't know who.
Your name? Nana Bula?
Just wanted to write and tell you guys how much I appreciated all of
Aunt
you.
Camilla?
Eric, very much included. It's been very therapeutic and fun. So much love from Finland. We get so much Patriots hate here from my brothers, no good friends, and truly this month we have been embracing the hate. I started listening to your podcast after the 2011 Super Bowl loss. My brother told me the best remedy for my Super Bowl loss sadness was to listen to you guys, and I have been hooked ever since. Well, thank you. Also, I want to say hi to my brother Aiden, because Fred saying his name will definitely make his day once he listens to the podcast. So,
Aiden.
Hello to Aiden.
What's up, Aiden?
David wants an apology from Eric. He says, I'm sorry. Did I just listen to Eric criticize someone else's personality and condescending attitude toward other people? I demand an immediate apology and retraction from him for the most hypocritical statement ever made by a human being. Apart from that, he's great.
I don't. You're not getting one.
You're not getting one.
You're not getting one.
Okay. No, all right. Well.
Totally different circumstances.
No, it's different. Very different.
I'm right. He's wrong.
Let's see. Brendan writes in, hey, guys, and Eric, they're coming in now. I have a unique angle on this Super Bowl that I haven't heard much. I think the big matchup of the game is the Seattle offensive line versus the Patriots defensive line.
Yes.
You have all said Seattle's O-line sucks, and in my opinion, at least two of the Patriots' D linemen are great, Chandler and Vince. If those two can take over the game, it's all over. Stopping Lynch is the key, so those two need to step up. If they play okay, I think the game can go either way. And then I saw this stat from Mike Reese, and he sends me an image of it, which I'm opening up right now. And Super Bowl facts, says Mike Reese's tweet, Patriots defensive end Chandler Jones has faced Seattle left tackle Russell Okung once on 10-14-2012, had 9 tackles, 2 sacks, and 1 forced fumble.
Yeah.
Wow, that's... Leave it to Mike Reese, just going back.
Very small sample size, though, one game.
But, you know, as Andy would know, because he played at a high level, there's certain guys that you just have their number in football. You know?
Yeah, and I'm not going to say that after one game.
That's what I'm saying, small sample size.
But that could be. Could be one of those guys.
After two games, I'll say, I think he's got his number.
I would feel a lot better if Chandler Jones had some success lately.
Yeah, I'm down on him.
I don't know if I'm necessarily down on him or he's just been a little bit slower coming back from the injury this year. But at that time, he was sort of the blossoming edge rusher.
Right.
And I was excited about him and the possibilities. And, you know, now we're almost a full 3 years in for him.
You kind of know what you've got.
I don't dislike him.
Yeah.
He's just not turned into the guy.
He's not a premier pass rusher.
Yeah, he's not turned into that real difference-making kind of guy. Now, maybe Sunday he will be a difference-maker. I hope that's the case. I think I think we all really like the guy. But Andy shrugs his shoulders. He doesn't care about anybody anymore, evidently. I guess I'll just leave it. I'll leave the Patriots backing to me now after I get butchered the first hour and a half of the show.
I think he's been very helpful and nice this year.
He's been nice to
me. I've soured on him a little bit.
I just feel I would feel better if he had
shout out in the hallway.
If he had say like 4 or 5 sacks in the last, you know, 5 or 6 games.
I know, it's
I'd
correct.
Feel better about.
Yeah.
I don't think Vince and Chandler are the two good or great or whatever.
Great. They have two great defensive linemen. I don't agree
ridiculous.
With that either.
I think Rob Ninkovich is, if you take all around player, every bit as good as Chandler Jones is right now. Chandler Jones should be better. But I'm not sure he is all-around defensive player.
Chris, up here in Canada, you guys rule seriously. Best radio sports show, period.
Thanks.
Listen every week. You guys do a great job. Also, starting to think Fred has a bromance on Jonas Gray. Well, that's
you
true.
Think?
Oh, yeah.
Starting,
God,
starting
God,
to
please.
Think?
Yeah.
Jeez, he's dreaming about
units.
Quick thought.
On his hip?
No, that's not true.
That's on his hip.
No, that's not. Now, come on. Quick thought. Also,
it was in the right place.
After rewatching the Hawks-Packers game, I really don't think the Hawks have a wide receiver or tight end that's a true threat. Also, Seahawk is just a fancy name for seagull.
I don't know why that made me laugh as much as it did.
That was good.
It's true. What about that, though?
What about that?
Are there really any threats, wide receiver, tight end, the Patriots have to worry about?
No.
No.
I think the only receiver.
Owen Wilson.
I think the only receiver.
No, it's his brother, Luke.
Oh, brother Luke. Luke. Oh, okay.
No, actually, it's
it
Luke.
Is his brother.
I know
Luke.
It is. Yeah.
The only receiver in the game I think that is truly worth worrying about is Gronk. I don't think there's another guy. I mean, there's guys that are going to make catches. I mean, someone's probably going to end up with 100 yards in this game.
Probably, Paul.
That's not going to be Gronk.
That's not Gronk.
But I don't necessarily think of anybody else in this game as someone I would go into the game and saying, how are we going to stop him? Gronk is the only guy that
And if I had to guess who that other one would be, I would say it would be Edelman.
But you also have two of the better pass defenses in football. That's part of that.
Yeah,
reason.
That's why I don't worry about it.
Now, when I wrestle, for every move, Sunday, there's always a counter move. You know, there's always a way to get out of a move if you use your leverage right. So there's always a counter to every move. The Seahawks use that rugby style of tackling. Is there a counter to that? Is there a way to kind of battle that style?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure they actually use all that rugby style attack.
Really?
No.
No?
Ever see Cam Chancellor? He hits.
Dark places.
He comes from dark places, and he tries to put you in dark places.
Right.
I mean, that's a nice little story for the offseason and for practice and all that crap, but I see them hitting as much as anybody.
But I think your point is, how do you counter good tackling?
Yeah.
Right?
I guess.
That's what you're trying to say?
Run through it and over it.
Yeah.
If you're more powerful, yeah. If you're more elusive, if you can make the guy miss.
Yeah, maybe more better use of stiff arm or something like that. Or, you know, I don't know. Just a thought that occurred to me. I'm sitting here. Oh, God. Network connection is unavailable. Please reconnect and try again.
Why does this keep happening?
I don't know.
I'll give a quick update if anybody's wondering. The Gronkmobile party bus is now in
way,
Texas.
Right? Texas,
they've made it to Texas, so they are getting closer.
I love this response.
Are people actually on the bus, or is it just the driver?
No, it's the brothers and
they're all
and,
really.
Yeah, oh yeah,
wow.
And I bet you there's women.
Yeah,
I love the response he gave yesterday at the media day. Somebody says, "So what's it like inside the Gronk bus?" And he goes, "No dudes allowed, so you'll never know."
That's how it should be,
right? So Kevin's trying to fix my computer now.
Other than his brothers, obviously.
This happened about the same time yesterday, so there must be
that
like a
correct.
Time limit on this.
Yes, I'm guessing.
It's a two-hour time limit? Yeah, so we should up that maybe to 3 hours.
We should effort that.
Effort.
PFW literally in progress right now.
Yeah.
You're seeing the real ugliness of the sausage.
The sausage making.
Yeah.
Oh, I got it. I want to see if Fred had something to respond with. I was waiting.
Fred likes a good sausage. It's good
yes.
Radio. Good radio right here.
Right. Right.
Have you seen it? Yes. You've seen it? Yes.
Yes.
About your call screener, is that gone too?
Yes.
Yeah, everything's gone.
What's your favorite matchup in this game? Ready, go, Eric.
That's easy.
Me too. My two favorite players now.
The second.
All right, I'll come up with something different then.
What did you say, Paul?
I said that one's easy for me.
Which is what?
Cam Chancellor and Rob Gronkowski.
Oh,
I have to take a different
one. Two favorite players.
Well, I was going to say the secondary on Gronk, or however they cover Gronk. That's whoever they use to cover him. That's what I'm more excited to see, because I don't think anyone's been able to do it. And I'll be curious to see if Seattle can.
Linebackers on Lynch. How about that one, Paulie Paul?
I have an underrated concern with the Gronk part.
But then he's hurt?
Yeah. Not hurt.
He keeps saying he's 100%.
Not
100%.
Hurt per se. Because I think he is
run
probably.
Run down?
Yeah. I think he's slowed down significantly the last, I don't know, maybe quarter of the season.
Well, he definitely did. And I still think he has a lower back injury.
But
I think
for whatever reason.
I think he'll be amped up
is.
For this game, though.
Oh, I think he'll be amped up, too. But I think he was amped up for the playoff games, too.
Plus, it's a lot harder to throw Cam Chancellor out the club than it is Sergio Brown.
Yes.
One is a unique, freakish defensive talent. The other is a special teamer. That is a far cry from each other.
Excited to see Russell Wilson.
Oh, God, yeah.
I would put that in the category because we haven't had a chance to really see. You know, when we got to see him the one time,
he wasn't Russell Wilson.
No. I think it was his sixth start.
He wasn't dangerous.
Yeah,
it was dangerous
six.
Wilson.
Now he is. Plus, he had that old ball and chains tucked to him.
All right, we're back online.
Got rid of her.
Ready to go.
So we don't have to this witty.
Lord only knows where that was going to go.
This witty banter that we had to partake in, we don't have to do anymore.
Tori from Chicago writes, and been listening for over a year and haven't missed an episode since. You guys are pretty great. Pretty great.
Pretty great.
Pretty great.
And he's also pretty excited about our big game on Sunday. I feel like if we protect Brady, we can win the game. The Seahawks are known for their corners being shut down guys. How do you guys see the Seahawks matching up with the smaller receivers such as Edelman, Vereen, and Amendola? I think they will body up well with LaFell and Gronk, but Gronk will get his anyway. But I wonder how they will deal with the shifty, smaller receivers.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting, I think.
Well, I think it's because more so it's worried about, if you're Seattle,
yeah,
how they're going to deal with the rubs and the crossing routes and whatnot, because that's what they do to get open. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they're just going to line up and try to beat them one-on-one, I don't think those are matchups the Patriots are going to win. But they'll scheme to get guys like Edelman open.
Yeah, and I wonder how, because, you know, our first take on Browner when he got here was that he had trouble with smaller, quicker receivers. And
Sherman doesn't have that issue.
No, but he's not the only defender out there. And I wonder just, you know, how they will react to switching up who they're covering, because, you know, everyone seems to think that Seattle's just going to do what they always do. And I do hold up, not hope, but I have a little bit of a feeling that Seattle might do something differently on defense for this game.
Yeah, I don't really fear that.
I'm not saying I fear it, but I
think they'll do what they do because I think they feel like they match up with anybody, and I don't think they feel like they need to change.
I think you run the risk of saying, of just assuming that a team is going to do exactly what they always do. I mean, this is the biggest game of the year. This is the game where if you're going to pull out stops, this is the game you pull out the stops.
You have to kind of anticipate.
And yeah,
you got to put your, you know, self in their shoes and say, what would I do? What are the things I could do?
Right.
And you have to be ready. And that's where Belichick is good. He's good at anticipating those things. So
do you think they'll do something different?
Well, you know, I was talking to Chris Gasper yesterday from the Globe, and he was saying, like, last year in the Super Bowl, everyone said, you know, they would just line up. And he said that they did do some different things with Chancellor and Earl Thomas, you know, when they brought people down, you know, Earl Thomas into the box and stuff, and that they showed some things they hadn't shown all season.
Yeah, so
I think they'll play a lot of cover three and have the guys on the outside do what they do, try to press.
Yeah. Do what they do.
Ann writes in, as others have said, it has been a tough couple weeks being a Patriots fan, especially out of the New England states. Local Philadelphia sports talk radio hasn't been awful, 97.5 The Fanatic, occasionally being logical and reasonable about this whole situation, as callers want the execution of all Patriots players, staff, and ownership, like the Eagles are perfect. My only response to anyone's comments is read about Aaron Rodgers. I don't know what that means. I have been debating if I would prefer to win on Sunday and secure the fourth win of six trips in the Super Bowl, or would I prefer complete and absolute vindication coupled with apologies from all the major networks, news platforms, and talking heads. Thinking I want the win. Really
yes.
Want the win.
Yes.
Yeah, we all want the win.
Wins last forever.
I'm correcting student quizzes while listening to your broadcast. Been following Fred during games for a few years, but just discovered PFW in Progress this season on my app. I love you guys. Keep it up. And a true Mainer and Pats fan stuck in Philadelphia.
Thanks, Ann.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
I mean, the win is, that goes in the record books. That goes in the ring. That goes, like, that's just
the trophy goes in the hall.
Yeah.
See, the apologies come if you lose, then at least you got the apology. If you win, I don't give a F what they say.
Right.
You know?
Well,
you do still want it, but
you know what? You don't want to apologize? Great. Give us a trophy.
What's the over-under after we win when Fred starts demanding stuff?
Right.
Oh, I'm not going to stop demanding it, but.
Why do you not give an F if you're demanding it?
You'll care.
You'll care. It's a little Brian
Morey-like. Anytime people say things, you'll care.
Sure. But if they don't say anything from that point on, I mean, like if it just dies, fine. We won the trophy, you know. So, Doug in New Hampshire, I love Super Bowl week PFW shows. Nothing like listening to three guys complain about getting to cover another Super Bowl. Cheer up, guys. You guys could be covering the Titans off-season activities. And, Andy, who did TV Azteca send this year? Is it worth an internet search?
Well, Inez Sanz, whatever, was there. But there was another, there were a couple different foreign language competitors.
There was one today that was quite impressive.
Yeah, there's been lots of, I particularly liked the brunette who was doing the dance-off. I'm sure people saw some of that on the TV coverage. She would go up on the podium and dance-off, and I'd like to see more of her dancing.
I don't have all the names for you, though, unfortunately, but it is definitely worth an internet search because there was
some extremely impressive talent. Dark places.
Deidre Hart calling.
She's already worked up. Did you know they don't have school again tomorrow?
Wow, really?
She is not happy. She's in a dark place right now.
And they still have power.
Yeah.
Tim in Texas.
They do still have power, right?
Yeah. I've been thinking for a while how easy this game would be to win if the Patriots could shut down Seattle's offense. I've come up with some thoughts regarding Browner. I'm thinking putting Revis on Bolden and Arrington on Kearse would essentially shut them down with a little help from McCurdy over the top. Oh, that leaves Browner to play a deep linebacker position 8 to 10 yards off the line of scrimmage, allowing him to react instinctively to the ball and laying hits on Wilson and Lynch. Also having an intelligent end like Nink is a definite advantage defending against the read option. And Collins is fast and physical enough to close and lay the hits to shut these dudes down.
Yes.
I mean, all that could happen. Who knows?
Yeah, we've seen Browner in that big safety linebacker role inside.
I think you're going to see ebbs and flows in this game. I think you're going to see times where all of a sudden Marshawn Lynch starts to get a little, you know, and then, you know, the Patriots buckle up, you know, for maybe, you know, a drive the next time.
Could be one of those games, too, where the first half and the second half are completely different types of games.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just so violent, though. He there's times when he doesn't look great, like he's getting bottled up, and then he just runs through a guy and runs through another guy, and all of a sudden he's 35 yards downfield.
I'm expecting him to get off to a slow start.
Good.
Because I think that's such got to be such the focal point of the defensive game plan, and I think he's one of those guys that does what you just said. You know, eventually he's gonna break one of those tackles at the line, and then all of a sudden he starts getting rolling, and that's where his yards come
from. If he starts off slowly and the Patriots put up 17, 21 points.
No, I'm not anticipating that. I mean, that's the blowout scenario, and I don't really see that coming. But it could.
Very negative.
I think more of Seattle's defense than evidently anybody else on the planet. I mean,
no,
I don't know what to tell you.
If they turn the ball over.
But, I mean, yeah, that's not necessarily all. Then a blowout could occur. Offense, if the Seahawks turn it over five times again like they did last week.
Five times. If they turn it over five times, it will be a blowout.
But if they're down again, my point is if they're down.
Could be a blowout.
If they're down by a significant margin and Lynch has started off slowly, will they be able to continue to give him the ball for him to get going?
Yeah, I mean, I think they can. They did last week, and that's how they got back in the game. They were down 19-7 in the fourth quarter, and they were still running the ball.
Let's hit the phones. Keith is in Florida. Hey, Keith.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey. What's up, Keith?
Hey, listen, I hear a lot of doubt creeping in, fear, and this, that, the other thing. I don't want to hear any of that. Ever since I found out what this matchup was going to be, I've been absolutely convinced. Pass over Hawks, 34-27. Write it down. It's going to be tit for tat for the first quarter and a half, and then the second quarter, Pats are going to start to creep away and put it away nice. Lot of big Patriots defense. That's just what I see, man. Nothing that I've seen from these guys is scaring me. I think you guys are right. Two of the best teams. We're fortunate for that. We get a really good test from a really good team, but we're going to win.
Well, I hope what you see is what will be, Keith. Here's an email that Paul can relate to. Do you suppose the refs will call the Super Bowl down the middle on the heels of these garbage allegations, or should the Patriots fans be concerned?
Be concerned.
Yes, I agree.
No,
fix could be in.
That's stupid.
You don't think that they hold a grudge?
You know what's the worst way to deal with an issue?
They're not humans?
You know the worst way to deal with an issue about the integrity of your game is to compound it by showing there is no integrity of the game.
They don't care. Maybe the fear
That's the dumbest thing I've ever
maybe
heard.
Maybe the fear of the Patriots winning the Super Bowl is so great. Maybe they're saying,
we're going to fix it.
We can't.
We'll show them about integrity of the game. We'll fix the damn game.
We can't let these guys win.
I really can't
win.
Believe we're having this conversation.
I can, because he's lost his mind. He's sick.
We can't let these guys win. Maybe that's the mentality.
Why?
Because to them.
Because we have no evidence of anything against them.
To them.
Because we have to get it set up. Just in case on the off chance that we happen to lose, we have to get something set up.
Because there will
and
be bad
Fred's
calls.
Laying the groundwork.
There will be bad
of
calls.
Of course there will,
I know
because
be
they
bad calls.
Stink. They're terrible at what they do.
But the fix is not in.
Let's keep an eye on that,
it's
Patriots
not,
fans.
Not the Cowboys. Patriots, why would there be any fix?
Patriots fans, have your emails ready. Don't let your guard down. Be vigilant. Don't listen to these guys.
If you see something, report something.
That's exactly, Paul.
Who is it?
Exactly.
Text.
Neighborhood Watch.
What's the guy's name? Vivek? Vicaria? What's the referee's name?
Bill Vinovich.
Vinovich. Bill Vinovich.
Chase in Florida, after last week, I no longer think the game will be close. I think the Patriots will be incredibly pissed and prepared physically. And I think that whether they win or lose, it will come down to the personality of the team and whether they play better when they're angry and motivated or fun and carefree.
Wait. So you don't think it's going to be close, but whether they win or lose? So you.
Yeah, that was kind of a email of two
a tale of two emails.
Or does he think it's a blowout? Either way, they're either going to. Well, am I?
I'm hearing myself.
Get reverb.
Yeah, hearing myself. What happened?
Yeah, I don't know.
But
show's almost.
Hello.
Over anyway.
Hello.
All right. Stop.
All right. Yeah, we are hearing a little echoing. All right. From
when, echo.
Let's
gone,
see.
Gone.
Margo writes in, if Lynch hates the publicity so much, he should stop grabbing his unit on camera in front of 80,000 people when he scores a TD. Another good
that
point.
That bothers me a lot more than him not talking to the media.
Absolutely. It all bothers me. He's Mr. Shy Social Anxiety Wallflower, and he can't talk to the media.
I don't buy any of that.
But
no.
He's going to grab his crotch and draw attention as he crosses the goal line.
Is that what he says? That he's
That's
shy?
What defenders do.
No, but what does
he's
he
not
say?
Comfortable. I've never heard him specifically address it.
That would bother me.
His defenders say he's uncomfortable. He has, you know, social anxiety. Whatever.
That's a bunch of crap.
It is crap. And that's a disservice to people that actually have social anxiety.
Pat from Agawam says, Fred, I can't remember where I heard it, but someone was comparing Gronk to Demaryius Thomas, where if Chancellor hits him hard, he'll crumble. Well, last time I checked, Gronk's not a pussy.
And all okay. That. That was well delivered.
Bob Soucy enjoyed that.
Bob, it's not the first time he's used that word on this show. Trust us.
He thinks if you say it a certain way,
if you
it's
say
okay.
It, right. If you say it like that, it somehow doesn't get, you know,
usually you have to follow
subject
it with
to fines.
And all that.
Pussy. Yeah, Gronk loves kittens.
He does.
Mike in D.C., I'm stressing out that we can't get a pregame social or Xbox One on Sunday. Here's what we need to do. The often shouted out PFW elite needs to come to our salvation. Someone needs to set up some type of Google Hangout and invite peers to listen to a pregame social type pregame and postgame. Hosts include Chester, Melvin, Jeff in Vegas, Shalata, Al from Georgia.
Hey guys. How are ya?
And he can wait till preseason game. Oh. Make it happen, PFW elite. So they need a
he
place.
Writes Al from he can wait.
So they're looking for a place to gather online. That's a good idea, though. Google Hangout. For
can't
them.
They gather on the Facebook page, PFW elite Facebook page?
I suppose they could, but they want to talk and hear each other.
Well,
you know,
I can't help you.
All right. Well, that's that pretty much puts an end to today's show.
Yeah.
We're going to get ready for the Bob Soucy show now. He's coming up right after this. His special edition show live from the Patriots team headquarters. He's
and
here
he might
with us
say,
as well.
And all that.
Bob is a professional.
That's right. He will not say that.
All right.
Zoe might say that.
Oh, for sure. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We will see you tomorrow, 2 o'clock Eastern time.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.